Hello and welcome back to The Break Room, a Superstore fan podcast. My name is Jordan Wiegand and I have our co-host with me today, Casey McGeorge.
How is it going, everybody?
It's going well. Aylin unfortunately couldn't be here. She's out of town, so she couldn't she wasn't able to jump on for this one. So we will break it down for you here. We're hoping to get this one up a little earlier than usual as well. So we are going to be recapping Season 6, Episode 6, which is number 104 overall, entitled Biscuit, directed by Jay Hunter, written by Justin Shaines, and it aired January 21st, 2021.
After returning from quarantine, Glenn enlists Cheyenne and Beau's help to get Dina to relinquish control. Jonah and Mateo have second thoughts about helping Sandra with her cat's medical needs. Garrett struggles with customer returns. Your initial thoughts?
I don't want to be the downer, but I this one was okay. I know for a lot of people it was their favorite of the season. I still think that's probably essential for me, or maybe Prize Wheel. One of those has been better for me. I thought this one was a little mean-spirited at times. It had my favorite plot line was probably the Garrett one. I didn't really care for the Dina Glenn rivalry as well. I didn't really like the cat storyline either, I guess. But how about you, Casey?
It was okay. It could be people are looking at this in a much better way because last week's was so divisive, to say the least. I think you're right. I'd say either the season premiere or Prize Wheel was probably the best two episodes of the season. But this is definitely a huge improvement over last week's episode. I will also say I struggled with this episode because I had to find a way to try and turn my brain off from certain things. And you guys we've talked about this before, how I need to maybe acknowledge more that this is a television show and not real life, right?
Right.
So there were several things in this episode that kind of got to me, but I will be more than so it kind of went back and forth with me, right? And I'm sure we'll discuss it on this podcast here in a little bit.
Before we get into it, though, I do want to say, though, because I did see some people, you know, stating that this season seems to be going nowhere. I do want to say these episodes were written and filmed before they knew they were being canceled. So I am waiting until, you know, what, maybe episode 8 or 9, that they probably start heading in the direction of where they want it to go. Because I feel like these were kind of like, you know, they thought they had, what, probably another year or two left at this point. So they're just kind of going with the flow. That's why I feel like these last few probably not have, these last two have not been, you know, as high quality as they, you know, usually are, as crowd pleasing as they usually are. And I think once we get to those later half episodes, that's where we're going to really see it hopefully shine and go out on a strong note.
There's 15 in the season, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, so honestly, I would say probably maybe the last 5 or 6.
Right.
Is where we would really start to see some traction and some things going towards whatever the finale is going to give us. You're right, at this point, these were probably written maybe over the summer. In some way, shape, or form,
probably early fall, or yeah, probably like they usually turn these, you know, if they film these in like probably October, November, it was probably written a few weeks beforehand.
Well, the groundwork for it may have been like kind of started maybe during midsummer, whatever.
Yeah, definitely
mid late summer, and then you know they had to work through whatever with their Zoom meetings and things to lead to when they finally got back to work and various things of that nature. So just like with any season, you know, start a season, you kind of finish up those storylines from last season, your cliffhangers and where it's going to go. You kind of start on a path of where the season's going to go, but you have this gap in the middle where, I don't want to say filler episodes, but that's really the only way I can describe it.
Right.
You know, take a typical sitcom, which I don't even know if we have anymore, you know, with 22 episodes, right? Your first four or five are probably going to be dealing with your cliffhanger and after effects and maybe starting to set up what's going on. You're going to sprinkle some other things for the remainder of the season, maybe in your next 10. And then, like I was saying with this, maybe your last five, six or so are going to be what leads you to the end of the season. But you still have to, like, you still have this hunk, and it's kind of like the meat in a sandwich, right?
Yeah.
If you look at the bread as your top piece being from last season, the bottom piece being from the, you know, your end of the season, you gotta have something in the middle there. And so that's a horrible analogy, I know, when people are like, why are you babbling? It's the only way I can think to describe this.
Yeah, so are you ready to get into Biscuit?
Sure. So let's start with Biscuit. Let's start with Sandra and Mateo and Jonah. Biscuit is having some health issues. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's very unfortunate. I love animals. When I had a dog, it really was my best friend, and I felt like it was part of my family.
Right.
So I will never knock another human being for feeling like their pet is a member of their family.
As somebody that has two dogs now that are about 2 years old, I cannot imagine what Sandra goes through here.
Yeah, so I definitely won't knock, you know, especially when they maybe fall ill and need medical attention. I won't knock how that will affect anybody, because that can definitely be a big thing. Cat is ill. So she's trying to collect some money to help with the medical costs. She got a $5 coupon on Yelp?
Was it $500? I thought it was $5, right?
No, that's what I said. Okay. $5 coupon Yelp.
It was $5 and it was a $900 surgery, I think.
Yeah, so she was still like $920 short or something like that. So this is something actually people kind of run into now, especially depending on your coworkers, and I hate to say it, but their age. There's a lot of people who don't necessarily carry cash on them anymore.
Yes, I do not.
I honestly don't either. There's a 7-Eleven around the corner from where I live that I stop at every morning and grab a bag of ice for my cooler and maybe an energy drink or some snacks for the road while I'm on my route, if I don't remember to bring any with me. And I use Apple Pay pretty much every day. I just bring my phone in with me. Since I have to wear a mask, I type in my passcode, put it on the reader, pay whatever it is, and then I roll out the door.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily have to bring my wallet in with me anymore, stuff like that. Then there's just the aspect of people didn't want to help, and it kind of got awkward in there for a moment.
Mm-hmm. And this is where I felt like it was a little mean-spirited, in the sense of, I don't even really feel like Sandra was really guilt-tripping as much as, because she's kind of always aloof that. So it was, I guess I'm not sure what they were going for, if they were going for her kind of guilt tripping or if they just felt bad. And once one of them paid, they all felt like they had to pay. But like, it is what it is, I guess, right? Like, if you don't want to pay for it, you certainly don't have to. It may come off bad or whatever. But, you know, with some of this stuff here with Sandra, you know, she's been through a lot in her whole time here. But also, you know, pets don't have insurance usually. I mean, not through like your employer. You would have to go out and seek that usually separately. It's becoming more of a thing now.
But you have to go get it yourself, private insurance for your
right. Pet. Now, it's like, they have pet insurance through my work, but we don't have it. It's like a discount program. It's not like an actual insurance. You can get real insurance now, but like we said, you would have to kind of go outside of that, and it's probably going to be really expensive. So it makes all these surgeries, you know, very expensive. And I definitely feel for Sandra there, because we've had not surgeries for my dogs, but you know, sometimes they have issues and we have to go to the doctors and get medication, and that's expensive enough as it is.
Yeah.
So, like, I guess I sympathize with it, that I thought it was a little mean, I guess, when people were kind of like, ugh, I don't want to have to pay this, but I don't want to look bad. Like, that's the only reason they did it, is because they didn't want to look bad. It's not that they actually cared. And I think what I like most about Superstore and just comedies in general are when they actually band together and do something nice because they care for each other. And I didn't get that from this. And like we said with other shows in the past, there comes a point where shows become more mean-spirited as they grow and as they get older for whatever reason. I'm not really sure what it is, but we've kind of teetered that line before with Sandra as well. When Dina would not throw her a party the way she wanted it for her like bridal shower, you know, she was like, no, I'm not going to do that. And then got mad when other people did step up to do that, where I feel like that kind of borders on the cynical side, and it almost makes Sandra like a Meg from Family Guy. And I don't like when shows start really punching down on characters repeatedly. And that's what I kind of got from this.
Yeah, I'll agree. They definitely are kind of, I know there's the term, the Flanderization of a character. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this is a term, but I'm going to try and make it. I'm going to try and make Fetch happen here, even though I've never seen that movie, and I may not be using that in the right term. They're kind of megifying her.
Right.
Where she's just constantly picked on, and it's a little frustrating at times. And the thing is, they're all adults. Everyone, you know.
And that always works better in cartoons than it does in real-life shows. Parks and Rec kind of did it a lot with Jerry and Gary, whatever his name actually was at this point.
Hold on, let's be fair. Gary or Jerry, whoever he was, he won in life. He was married to Christy Brinkley or something. And not to be too crude here, the doctor even said he had the biggest penis he had ever seen.
Yeah. He was very gifted in other ways. Yeah.
The dude won in life, especially when they showed his wife. I was just like, wow. So look, if I had a life like that, you could probably call me whatever the hell you wanted to. Too. I probably would care less.
Right. Sandra has not had that. You know, she's finally found it with her Jerry, right? But she is not. She is in the past. She's always had, you know, very odd problems that continue, I guess, now with her having a random grown up kid that she adopted or fostered. I guess.
What if her adopted son is actually the serial killer responsible for the feet?
I think that'd be very dark.
okay, let's get back on track. But as I was saying, they're all adults here, right?
Right.
So, and I get sometimes it's awkward, but either A, just say you don't have the money, or just say I'm good. Like I
can't swing it. You know, I work. I make $7 an hour. I can't really swing. Can't really swing anything at this point.
Yeah, like, and people have tried to do that to me before for certain things, where other people have given for whatever reason they're doing, and they're looking at me and they're like, "You're not gonna? No, why not? Either A, I just don't. I'll be honest. Like, either A, I just don't want to, or B, you're not gonna guilt me into this. Like,
right?
Like, it's sorry, like." But no, there's no buts about it. Like, sorry, you tried, you asked, and I appreciate it. But no, you know, I'm not trying to be mean, but there's whatever the reason is, you know. I will say this. I know it cost one of our favorite characters, Saeed, 2 seasons of Ray Donovan.
Yes, I do feel bad for Saeed there. Though I would say, Ray Donovan, isn't that on Netflix?
Well, it's a Showtime show.
I know. So. I know that Showtime usually has deals with Netflix. Like, they have, you know, Shameless on there.
They do. They also have something with Hulu, where I think you can get, like, Showtime on demand or something. I don't know.
Okay, so Ray Donovan, you can stream it on Peacock.
Oh, wow. Cheap plug there. Clap, 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 Superstore Riders.
So save your money, Saeed, and get Peacock for $5.99 a month. Or if you already have Comcast, that could be the free tier. You're going to have to check. And you can watch Ray Donovan. All 7 seasons are up there. You don't have to spend $40 for 2 seasons of Ray Donovan. And actually, that's probably... Usually, those premium shows are more expensive on Blu-ray and DVD. I'm going to check that now, actually.
So, A, That's either well-placed or well-forced corporate synergy there.
Yeah.
And B, I'm kind of with Saeed on this one, just because I'm still a physical collector, so still like physically having the disc for shows. Also, because you never know if and when the internet's going to go out.
Right.
Or if you move, yeah, and it might take you a couple weeks to get the internet back. Or, as we've seen with The Office, which is now on Peacock, but was previously on Netflix, you never know when some of these licensing agreements or whatever, yes, other things are going to expire or change or transfer, and you can't watch your favorite show anymore.
What I will say, though, it depends. I used to buy DVDs all the time, and I used to buy them even for shows I hadn't really like seen yet but were recommended to me. So I guess it all depends on, is he completing his Ray Donovan set, or is he trying it out for the first time and wants to buy him on, you know, Blu-ray? That's
with the way
that's
he's
the
talking
question.
I think he's a Ray Donovan,
yeah,
fan.
I think so too. But for me, I'd like now testing the show out on something before I, you know, splurge the $20 to $30 they are now.
Plus, and I don't know anything about Ray Donovan, but plus you have a situation, and maybe this is changing now with new rights and everything. So one of the big things with Scrubs was their music.
Yes.
But because if you bought the DVDs a while back, you still got the original music that they put in the show.
Yes, because sometimes DVD licensing rights are different than the streaming licensing rights. So some
exactly.
shows have
so
them
they,
on DVD, and some shows have it where they're replaced songs on
well,
streaming.
At the time those agreements were made, there was no streaming.
Right.
And then so there was this whole thing. So now even I think it's on Hulu and even on it's on iTunes. You can buy it through Apple, but it still doesn't have the actual songs. So yeah, there's replacement songs, which they do their best sometimes to match up with the mood or whatever. It doesn't always work.
They did that with Freaks and Geeks. Before we move on, Freaks and Geeks, I think, had replaced music on streaming and maybe even DVD. But I think Seth Rogen and them just tweeted out saying that it's coming to, I think, Hulu with its original music back in the show. So that there's an instance of it that's very recent in the news.
So I feel for Saeed on this one. Plus, it's always great to see and hear Saeed.
Yes.
I don't know. Whoever is writing for this dude is nailing it episode after episode, mm-hmm. man. Saeed comes strong. Friend of the podcast, Amir. He comes
yes.
strong every episode, and it is amazing to watch.
Yeah, he's got to get a role in some show after this ends. He, you know, it's a shame that he came in, I think, in season 4, and you know, now that we're already kind of canceled now, he really only had, I think it was like mid-season 4 too, so it's really only been 2 years that he's been on the show. 3 years, I guess.
But I don't know how that process is working, but whoever's writing for him is nailing it every episode. And you, sir, ma'am, deserve high applause, because it's fantastic. So then at some point, okay, what is it? Back to Biscuit.
The cat
here.
Dies. Right.
Yeah, the cat dies. She took her last breath with Jerry at whatever time. So cat's no longer there. So then the awkward conversation comes up, and I'm surprised it started with Jonah.
Yep. Me too. It felt very out of character.
That okay, so it wasn't just me. Like, okay, in all fairness, I know I talk about it all the time of my hate for Mateo, which we will get to here shortly. Had Mateo started that aspect, it would not have been out of character.
Correct. I felt like that's how it should have came about, yeah.
But for Jonah to be the one curious about where their money went, it, like, that just seemed wrong to me and odd.
And the reason why I feel that way is because we just talked about it with Sandra and her wedding and Dina not wanting to, you know, do her bridal shower or whatever. Jonah was the one that stepped up there. He stepped up and tried to help throw something there. And I felt that was more in tune with his character then. So to then fall back this way on him, it was very strange.
He's supposed to be good guy Jonah.
Right. to be honest, I think it's because without Amy, they don't know what to do with him right now. And it's, you know, that's where we're at with him as a character.
There's that. But that also brings into without Amy, he's going through some things right now.
Yeah. I mean, also, he probably doesn't have as much money as he did when they were together, too.
I wasn't even thinking about that. Just in general, yes, he right, his financial situation is probably a lot different. But just the aspect of...
But it was 40 bucks.
As the aspect shows, we'll see, I guess, in the next episode, he might be going through some things because he's by himself now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, everyone else, except for you, has experienced the breakups. And there's these ups and downs mm-hmm. and valleys and peaks and things and... You know, so I guess maybe I shouldn't totally knock him for it, but it just felt wrong for Jonah. Even though he was like, well, you know, I wasn't going to say it, but since you're thinking it, but still, you're the one who brought it up, dude.
Yeah. And I felt like we get real Jonah in a little bit here when she uses the money to buy the necklace and he comes up with the, well, we paid for Biscuit to stay around a little longer and now she's always going to be staying around with, you know, with the ashes being in the necklace. That felt like Jonah right there, you know. He was at that point okay with what was going on, it seemed like.
So the part where everybody might be waiting for my Mateo Hatermeter, I guess. I don't know, it was a little weird this episode because he wasn't in it much except for his complaining about the money and him trying to get the money back. But then I forget what happened. She cried or something. He couldn't ask her or whatever.
Yep. And that was pretty much it for Mateo.
Yeah. So, I mean, there wasn't much around. So I don't know. There wasn't much. I can't even hate on him for asking for his money back because that's what I expected out of Mateo.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like I can't even be like I hate Mateo this episode, because as soon as it came up that like they wanted their money back, I was like, yeah, that Mateo,
that tracks.
I can see. Yeah. So I don't know, maybe 2-3, not much at all this episode, but he also wasn't in it much, so maybe that's why.
Yeah, and to pretty much, I guess if we want to finish the Sandra storyline, you know, like we said, she has her necklace. Is her cat ashes inside, and that necklace is stolen by one of the rioters in just a very bad turn of events and makes that whole plot line worthless. And I think that's part of my reason with part of my problem with the storyline too, is that it, again, this is like now the writers punching down on Sandra, where, you know, she lost her cat. She had this nice necklace made with the cat's ashes and then it's stolen and that's it. You know, that like that's her storyline this week, and it's unfortunate.
Have you ever seen The Equalizer?
No, I haven't.
Okay, well, two things. Number one, you need to find a way to watch it. Old man Denzel Washington beating people up is fantastic. Two, this would make a lot more sense had you seen The Equalizer.
Mm-hmm.
They need a Denzel Washington Equalizer guy in that store. I don't want to spoil it for you because I don't know if you have any intention on watching it or not. But
so what's he do? Does he like? Is it like a John Wick situation? He goes crazy.
Well, he works in like this Home Depot type store or whatever, and he I guess used to be this badass super spy or something. Like, it doesn't really explain it,
mm-hmm.
but at some point there's one of the girls there. They get held up, and like her wedding ring and everything gets taken, in cool, calm Denzel Washington fashion. At some point he goes, grabs a hammer off the shelf, and then at some point it shows him finding these people and he absolutely destroys this dude. And then when the girl goes to open up her cash register drawer, like, oh, before that it cuts to him at some point wiping the hammer off and putting it back on the shelf.
Oh wow.
And then at some point the girl opens up her cash register drawer and her wedding ring is back in the drawer for her, and they don't, like, she doesn't know who, how, or why. But I haven't seen John Wick. It'd probably be more along the lines of Taken, where you don't realize this dude was a true badass.
I haven't seen John Wick either. I just know that his dog gets killed and he goes on a rampage trying to trying to get that.
Look, you go kill a man's dog, you deserve whatever you get.
I agree.
So anything else about Biscuit here?
No, I think we can move on to... what's the other storyline? I guess it's just the Garrett. You want to go to Garrett?
Yeah. So this, so these next two storylines is where my realism and I couldn't shut my brain off from the realism aspect.
I can't with the Dina and Glenn either, honestly. But with this one, with the Garrett storyline, I thought it was humorous. Of course, I was still thinking this would make no sense. That you'd be able to return. I get the thought process. Almost like how you can now return like Amazon stuff at Kohl's, even though they're not owned by the same people. But the thought process of trying to make it simpler for people that have bought something through a parent company or a child company of the, you know, Zephyr.
Parent corporation.
Yep.
Yeah.
And wanting to be able to return that in any of their locations. I understand the thought process there. It gets absurd with it being a dialysis machine and a plane propeller.
Yeah, it started off absurd. Okay.
But I thought that dialysis machine was actually funny. With the plane propeller, I was like, what is going on here? And then it's a giant tire.
I think
tire.
It was more of a boat propeller. But
well, what it says in the Wikipedia thing is plane propeller, so I'm not sure if that was official or if that's just something written in here, but that's what they have it listed.
So... where do I start? From someone who's had to deal with stuff like this, okay? One, if I was Garrett, at some point I'd have told them, well, no, I'm not taking it back. You can call whoever you want. It's just not going to happen. They haven't communicated that to us. They can put whatever they want on their website. Don't really care. Until we get everything set up in our computer system, it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Two, even if the individual got another kidney, which is why he may no longer need the dialysis machine, no one's going to take back a dialysis machine because it deals with bodily fluids.
Mm.
So,
that's
once
true.
Again, we step back into Fat Max story time here, right? When I worked at Walmart, there were a few items that we could not accept and take returns back at the store. And they were clearly marked, and there were actually signs over these items to let individuals know. Breast pumps was one big one. And diabetic testing machines
right.
was another one. Because they deal with bodily fluids. And once bodily fluids touch it, that's it. As a matter of fact, once the seal on the box was broken, you have to contact the manufacturer. And most of them even have that on the seal and have that in the instructions to say, once this is opened or and it's used, you have to contact the manufacturer. You cannot return it to the store. I had a very old gentleman who wanted to return diabetic testing strips. We informed him many times he could not. He said there was no such sign over the store, over the items. So he said, show me. Let's take a walk, sir. We walk over to where the diabetic testing strips are. Right there on top of the aisle or on top of the case, there's a sign that very clearly states, once these items are purchased, if the seal on the box is broken, you have to contact the manufacturer. We cannot take it back at the store.
Mm-hmm.
You just put that sign up. Really? I use my Petro Super Speed. Haha. Flash. I use my Petro Super Speed to put the sign up. In that, you know, when you blinked your eyes, because so unfortunately we can't take it. He then proceeded to throw said box of diabetic testing strips at me. And as angry as I got, I told the man very calmly, you need to leave the store immediately. A couple people saw the look on my face, then they realized that this could escalate, and they ushered the man out of the store immediately. I had no intention on putting my hands on the individual, but I was very upset that the fact that he threw it at my face and hit me with it. But yeah, like a lot of those items like that, you can't take back at the store. I say all that to say, a dialysis machine with everything that deals with, that would have to go back to either an actual medical facility, and I don't even know if they could reuse it again. Like, they may have to, like, destroy it.
Do you, now, I don't know much about this, but do you actually buy a dialysis machine, or would that be something that would be like
on loan or lease from a medical company or the hospital? I don't know. That's a very good question, which I have no answers to. Like I said, to be honest, where it just comes up is grapes. Look, like, and I know they did this for comedic effect and to show Garrett having some issues and wanting to fight through it, and I applaud them for that. But this is where my brain just clicked in. And I was like, no, like, I'm telling him and the lady with the propeller to get lost. Like, until they send this information down and get our systems updated, we can't take it back.
Plus, like, we all know the grapes code is 4022. It's not whatever this dialysis machine was.
It depends on what kind of grapes it is, because there's a few different kinds. But Garrett may have had the best line in the whole show this week. It was like, are you serious? You're bringing that in here right now when the lady's wheeling the propeller?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the only bad thing about Garrett's storyline is why I did find it humorous. It's just three of the same storyline, you know, with them bringing in more stuff. And really, yes, it rings up as grapes, and that's, you know, like, he never figured it out. But what does he do now? Does he, like, it's now going to show that you guys took back. As somebody that had to handle that, like, I've had to handle. I never handled returns themselves because I was in a grocery store as a stocker. But let's say, inventory-wise, that now it looks like they've returned all these grapes, and I guess you would...
10,000 pounds would be, of grapes or whatever, yeah.
Right, and you would be, I guess, having to then spoil those grapes because they were coming back from a person that took them out. What would corporate think in this case? How is he going to be like, no, this is actually a dialysis machine, a plane propeller? Did they get their actual money that they were, you know... Like, did they get the real value of their money back as well? There's little questions up there on that one.
So not only that, but, like, there's the simple aspect of the cost of a dialysis machine. And, like, so I just did a quick Google search on eBay. Right now, there's a Gambro Phoenix dialysis machine used. Oof. Bid for $599.99. I don't know if that's a great deal or not. Whatever. But, like, I see another one for, like, $13,000. Like,
that's a wide variety of amounts there.
Yeah. So, I mean, just the simple fact that, like, the simple fact of how much this is going to cost, and it's coming out of the store. This will kind of tie in to this other storyline, which is where my brain shut off, of if you had an actual manager with a spine, they would have backed Garrett up and been like, no, we're not taking this back.
Right.
And before I became a manager myself, when I was right under the assistant manager was over the front end, I had many a conversation with my assistant managers because... Like, the return and exchange policies were very clear. Like, it's spelled out in black and white, right? And a lot of times they would be like, we'll just take care of the customer. And then my question is, so we're just gonna do what we want? No, we have to take care of the customer. No, we don't. You're setting a precedent for them, and they're going to take advantage of this. It's very clear in black and white. It says here what can and can't be returned. So... I guess we're just going to throw all... I literally told him, so we're just going to throw all the rules out the window and I can just do whatever the hell I want up here. You're missing the point. No, that's not... This is the point. Like, you're saying you're doing this because you want to take care of the customer. You're afraid you're going to lose that customer's money. Let's be real. A, in all fairness, a lot of people who shop at Walmart shop there for convenience and price. They're not going to go... Like, where else are they going to go, right? Where else are they going to afford to go in a lot of places? Yeah. They can't. So a lot of people, I've had people say, I'll never shop here again. And I saw them in the store the next day. And I've commented to a couple of them. But you said you weren't going to shop here again. And they just kind of like had that embarrassed look and going about their business. But, and it puts me in a hard spot because I'm following the rules. But then you would come behind me and just totally disregard it. And it, like, I've had it out with some of my managers about that. And this is where if you, and when I actually became an assistant manager, I back my people up because I'd been in that situation before. So there were plenty of times where I was called up front because they refused to do a return for something. And I would simply say, no, like this is the policy. The answer is no. Well, I'll call corporate. You can have at that, sir. I will gladly dial the 1-800 Walmart number for you, but I'm still not going to do it. But yeah, like how much does a propeller cost? I mean,
like, I don't know.
You know, that's just utterly ridiculous. And once again, I know it's done for comedy, but like, I just couldn't shut that off from like, no, like, just no.
Yeah. You know, they obviously did it for heightened effect. I think you probably could have chose some different things that may not have been as expensive, but you know, it is what it is, I guess. But any other thoughts on Garrett's story? It was really quick. It was really just this. He really took offense when people said he wasn't tech savvy.
Which, yeah. So plus at that point, he's been on hold and he's been with customer service for Zephyr forever. And they're not giving him help. So his meters are just going into the red there. And then this guy's making snide comments behind his back. And then this lady decides to bring a damn propeller in from out of nowhere. Like,
yeah, this guy's actually been a customer in a few episodes. Hard to tell with the mask on, but people, Aylin pointed out too here. Let me pull up her tweet. He was the toothbrush guy in...
Oh, Jesus, I thought he looked familiar, but I couldn't. Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
And I think he's been in a few other... He was in... he also, I think, did something with the razors in another episode. But yeah. Toothbrushes is probably the most memorable one that I remember.
Yeah, I remember that.
But yeah, he was funny. I really liked the return guy. He was probably the highlight of the Garrett storyline.
And honestly, the Garrett storyline, because it was just such small and quick segments, I guess it was a good break from the other two.
Yeah.
Or just like, meanwhile, back at the customer service desk. What do you mean they keep coming up as grapes? You know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on to our big, the A block here. As I said last week, this episode was supposed to have been last year.
Yes.
I think this probably would have been the last episode we would have gotten before went on their break.
Yeah, I think they pushed two episodes back, so I think it was these two.
Because he's just coming out of quarantine, so he had his... Back when the science and everything told us you had to have a 14-day quarantine period. I don't even know what it is now. I don't even know if it's different based on the strain of COVID that you might come in contact with.
That's true.
But that's something else entirely. So he's back at work. He's happy to be back at work. Jerusha's not sliding ham into the garage anymore. It's great. But he's kind of there for no reason. Security guard decides to tow his car.
Yeah, because it's in Dino's spot. Yeah.
Okay, so I know we've seen the security guard for quite a while, right?
Yes.
Does he not in all fairness, Glenn's car has a ton of mishaps, so maybe he just doesn't recognize the car, because this could be the 50th vehicle that Glenn has been driving.
Right. That's true. All of his accidents and stuff.
Yeah, that car's been destroyed so many times, so... We can't guarantee that he knows what Glenn's car will look like, because you never know when it's going to change. But does he not know who Glenn is? Like, that Glenn is the actual store manager? If that's the case, that guy doesn't need to be at the store. He needs to be fired.
No, I think he does. I think it is, one, with Dina having done that for 2 weeks, I think maybe he didn't know Glenn was back. But two... I think it's just a funny way of kind of pointing out that the way we're going to see as well that Dina has kind of taken over the store a bit.
To keep it relevant, she's trying to pull a coup.
Yeah. Oh, man. Who knew it would be this relevant? But, yes, with as we'll see with Nia as well here, when she's sick... And you know, Dina sends her home, and then Glenn takes this to heart, kind of realizing now that Dina is, you know, kind of taking control. She plays it off as if, oh no, I just saw her, you know, whatever. And I guess, do we know if that's really was Dina really trying to pull that off, or
she's pulled it off for years? It's not she's just trying. Okay, so let's take a step back for a second. You're a football fan, correct?
Yeah.
You like your Baltimore Ravens? Unfortunate yes, season so far, but hey, no knock. I'm sure you have heard the term before. If you have two quarterbacks, you have no quarterbacks, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. For anybody who's listening to this that may not be a sports fan, doesn't know, that's said a lot of times if there's a quarterback controversy on a football team. If a coach can't decide between quarterback
very
a,
relevant
quarterback
to
B,
another team that is just north of me by 90 minutes, the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, the phrase is used a lot. If you have two quarterbacks, you have no quarterbacks, because a quarterback is a leader of the team. Then there needs to be one person being that leader, one person in charge, and people don't know what to go through. It gets weird. Teams don't really survive when you have two quarterbacks like that until the coach at some point definitively sits down and names one person the guy in charge and the starter, and it goes from there. So I say that because I went back and forth on this episode a few times, and when I first saw the preview, it hit me that how is Dina still employed at this store? Because her and Glenn are not on the same page. Her and Glenn have not been on the same page since the series has started. As I've said before, that I wouldn't enjoy working for someone like Dina. I think a lot of people wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Amy has even brought that up to her. That's why nobody likes you. She said that directly to Dina, even though she said she didn't mean to. But it's probably true. She sexually harassed Jonah. She's bullied Jonah. She's physically put her hands on Jonah before.
Bullied Sandra.
She bullies Sandra like every episode. So even taking all of that aside, she's pretty much gone against Glenn at almost every chance we get.
Since day one.
Not even counting the aspect of, which he's toned it down considerably, how religious Glenn mm-hmm. was when the show first started. I can see kind of pushing back against that because this may not, that at the workplace may not be the appropriate place right. for that. So I can see pushing back or, you know, telling Glenn, hey, this is not the place for that. That is 100% understandable. But everything else, she's kind of been, she's been planning this coup in front of us for years and we just didn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
With her, she's got to have 8 spare radios because,
yeah.
And this is, I've said before, Glenn is a great person, but a horrible manager.
Mm-hmm.
This is a prime example of that. And not to say this as to just like he needs to put the hammer down, but at some point Glenn would need to pull her aside and they need to have some serious heart to hearts and say, look, I am the manager of the store. I'm the one in charge. I am ultimately the one responsible for what happens in this store. The train's leaving the station. You can either get on the train and we can ride to this destination together, or you can get off the train and go get on a train that's going somewhere else.
Right.
But I can't have you
undermining
me yep. at every opportunity you get. I can't have you demeaning me in front of everybody at every opportunity you get. And like that just hit me as I was watching this. Like she shouldn't even really be there because her and Glenn are not on the same page. They don't work well together. So again, I get it. It's for comedy. And I know people might be just rolling their eyes as they're hearing this. But this is also another prime example of that, this show, because okay, Glenn came back, and maybe there's going to be a small transition period once Dina comes back, or once Glenn comes back to hand everything over to Dina. But Glenn even got to some point where he was wondering, like, why am I here? Cheyenne, you know, you made the comment of they would only go to him to find out how much milk used to cost back in the day, stuff like that. Like, okay, granted, Glenn's old, I get it. But I don't know. Maybe I'm just wrong about this. Can you see what I'm saying?
No, I totally do. I'm somebody that is kind of in the Dina position at my workplace. Not that I'm not saying I undermine people. I'm saying that I am in that, like, you know, that level of
that next man up or second supervisor,
yeah,
second one in charge,
yeah.
Something like that. Yeah.
I'm a call center team lead. So, like, I have to work with my manager and, you know, we have to have these talks of how we're going to handle situations and make sure we're on the same page. So that way I'm not, you know, going around saying stuff and she's not going around saying stuff and we're contradicting each other or or whatever. I do find it interesting, with the way that we've seen Dina in the past, is it kind of surprising that she actually did well during this stint of the 2 weeks? Like, she was ahead of the email notices. She, you know, she told them to the team already or whatever. She, you know, seemed to have the respect this time compared to other times where people would go to her, and it actually worked out, which was kind of different from how it was painted, like, in seasons past. So was that kind of surprising?
Two things on that. One, it is surprising because, as we saw when she first took charge, she wanted to run a North Korean type dictatorship. So who's to say she's not still doing that? And this, a lot of this may not be done out of fear.
Mm-hmm.
Two, she's very competent, capable.
Yeah.
As a manager and as a leader. So there's no reason to say that she couldn't do an excellent job of running something, right? But just maybe her approach of how she would run it, especially after, you know, as we've seen, especially, what was it, the last one we saw before the break, where she is not a people person.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe she would need some help with that. And that's understandable. So not everybody is. Some people are stronger in certain areas than others are. But when you get into certain leadership and top positions, you kind of have to be able to branch out to all these different things and know all different aspects. So I am surprised, but I'm not. Like I said, she is very capable and can obviously run a store, but I'm just surprised, and I shouldn't be because it's Glenn, that he's allowed her to just kind of just do him dirty like this for the last 10 years or so.
Mm-hmm. Now, this whole plot line here, if we move on a bit to, you know, he's trying to, you know, Glenn is trying to get Dina to focus on security threats because he knows that's what she likes and she's good at it.
Yes. So because of that, we get Bo.
Yes, always glad to see Bo.
And he wasn't as obnoxious or annoying this episode.
No, he wasn't.
Him and Cheyenne did have to make sure there was no sex on the table between Glenn and whoever.
Yeah, his friends.
Hey, whatever floats their boat, you know, no judgment here.
I like how Cheyenne was at first like, no, that's not what he means. And then he, like, she turns to Glenn and is like, is it? Like, is that what?
I think Cheyenne and Bo may have some outrageous antics in the bedroom.
Also, another good Cheyenne line, too, is, I forget what point it is, but when she says that, like, she's just totally over, like, COVID or whatever.
Yeah, is it over? Because, yeah, just, and she's like, right behind Dina. She's, like, number three in charge.
Yeah, she's the floor supervisor now. Kind of forgot about that.
I kind of want to see more of that.
Yeah, we haven't really seen it.
We talked about it before. We thought this was going to give her an opportunity to, like, grow.
Oh, we did see it in Prize Wheel, I guess. That was when Jonah was taking advantage about the business school. You know, like, he was in that interview that he thought was for another job. And we've only had one episode since then, but you know, hair care products. But, yeah, it was it feels like so long ago because it's been 2 months.
Or it feels like maybe these were shot. Well, they can't be shot out of order because I don't know. It would be nice to see her have something more to do because it seems like they just went back to her being normal Cheyenne the last couple of episodes.
Right.
So Bo decides to get some of his boys to help do some things in the store, blah, blah, blah. We see him putting the Babadook on cereal and various things. Is that the Babadook?
Yeah. Wasn't that... No, isn't it Diane Keaton or whoever she said?
Yeah. Yeah. And then, like, the old Dina comes out, so she takes him in the back. One dude falls madly in love with her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was a good part. And this was Aylin's favorite part. She sent this to us here. When Dina is holding the plastic barrier and yelling at them behind it.
you know, I knew for a fact, I knew as soon as she took them in, I'm like, they're not smart enough. They're going to spill the beans and she's going to find out this is because of Glenn.
Yep. And, but at the same time, it is also spread to other people of Bo's, I guess, or
bunch of hoodlums came in.
Yes. And, Dina does not take it seriously because she still thinks this is part of
Glenn's,
you know, and Glenn's really trying. He's really trying to tell her this is no, like, for real, this is it.
But now, in all fairness, I can understand where she's coming from.
Yes. Yeah.
Although it was getting a little outrageous in the store. Like, at some point, you gotta be like, wait a minute, this is not just
she starts
a couple of dudes putting
helping them steal the refrigerator.
Yeah. Yeah, she helps somebody steal a refrigerator, you know.
Let me help you with that.
Is she just putting it behind the guard center for now? Oh, yeah, sure. So this brings up my next point, is if Glenn is still worried about his stress levels and he's worried about his health and things, why did he even come back to the job?
Yeah, it really should just be Dina as manager now, I feel like. Instead of this co-manager thing that they're leading to, I feel like... That's where I was kind of wondering. With Glenn coming back in as manager, I forget why he does.
I think it would have been better to have Dina take over as the manager after Amy left.
Yes, and you could have had... Because she's pretty much been it since Amy left because of Glenn being out for, you know, three of these episodes or two of these episodes. And we've only had... four since Amy left, so for half of them it's been Dina, so you could have had a lot of the same sort of plot lines with Dina becoming manager. And you know, I get, maybe here's the thing, they might be going somewhere with the co-store manager part here that needs Glenn in that spot. Maybe we'll find that out later on, so I don't want to harp on it too much, but as it stands right now, Dina doing it wouldn't have changed really much of anything.
So, I'm not a fan of the co-manager idea. This goes back to the saying I said before, if you have two quarterbacks, you have no quarterbacks.
Yeah. I'll tell you why I'm not a fan of it. It's because The Office did the same thing. In season 6 of The Office, they did co-managers. So I feel like it's kind of heavily borrowing from that, which, you know, the show does have ties to The Office, so it would make sense at times, but to me it feels like I've already seen this, unless they're going to be doing it differently.
How did that one turn out?
So it was Michael, played by, you know, Steve Carell, and Jim, John Krasinski, become co-managers, where Michael's is focused on big picture stuff while Jim runs the day-to-day stuff. And it led to some of these same storylines I feel like we're going to get, where we kind of got here with people going to Michael for one thing, Jim for one thing, you know, kind of the same way Cheyenne said, you know, how it's been working with going to Dina for some stuff, going to, you know, Glenn for the other stuff. And that lasted maybe 6 or 8 episodes. It was like the first half of this, you know, first bit of the season. And then actually the Dunder Mifflin was bought out by another company, kind of like the Zephra storyline, and they were like, why do we have two managers? We're going back to one. And it went back to Michael just being the manager, so it was kind of for nothing.
If anything, I would like, we've already had Glenn, I would like to see Dina as the full-time manager.
Yes,
especially now considering she has more of an understanding of how the store works.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen that she has more of an understanding that Glenn's job was not as easy as she thought.
Right.
Now, if she learned from that or not, we won't know, especially until we see. But she's looked like she's made some growth and some strides in that aspect. Maybe it's just me, but it looks like, to me, Dina from like 2 seasons ago or just earlier in this season would not have sent Nia home for having food poisoning.
Yeah.
As compared to now, where she, you know, finds out and realizes she can't have her there and decides to send her home.
So I guess, you know, they're becoming co-managers.
Does that mean they both get the $100,000 a year salary? Do they both get a company car? Like,
those are good questions, actually. That's something I didn't think of. Because then, really, if you're Zephra or Cloud9, whoever's really making the decision there,
you gotta look at the budget on these things.
Like, why would you do that?
I'm not paying both of you guys.
There would have to be some sort of Dina's probably making less, but then are you really co-managers at that point?
Or here's what I'll do. That's fine. I'm not sure what Dina makes. I don't know if she makes an hourly wage or whatever. But hey, okay, you guys want to be co-managers? Then I'll pay each of you $60,000 a year.
Right. So we get this kind of like, one, we're not really sure how they got away with this whole store getting wrecked. I feel like one of them, Glenn, would have been fired.
Both?
Yeah, especially with Dina helping them.
Especially when Dina brings up the fact that she can talk with someone from another store and spread the shrink around.
Yeah.
Some other that's very shady. Going on there. Oh, that's not shady. That's definitely illegal. Like, that's the kind of thing where higher level loss prevention would come in, mm-hmm. and would wonder where things are going on, and eventually, like, somebody might be being let out of the store in handcuffs.
So they get this co-store managers. They're walking in on Happy, and we get the, you know, which one of you is the manager? And they just both say we are, and they get served by Carol's lawyer, who is suing the store. Now, I forgot all about this plot line. I had to look up what exactly happened, but I guess this was after Sandra's wedding, when Carol was trying to fix Glenn the robot or something, and she got electrocuted.
Yes.
And that is what she is suing the store for. Which seems like a weird plot line to bring back out of nowhere.
Well, maybe, but in all fairness, So we know Carol had some issues last year, mm-hmm. and then she went to a mental health facility for a while, and came back, and I think she couldn't be fired because she was under a protected status because of her mental health issues. Right?
Yeah.
If I'm vaguely remembering that. And there was someone from HR, which we don't even know if was a real person, CJ Badano or something
like that.
Right? I don't know. And especially at some of those higher levels, you never know how long those people are still there. So either A, he may not have existed, or B, he may not be there now. After she came back, there was that whole weird thing last year where everyone was weird around her, and the security guard was watching her because they weren't sure what she was going to do, but they couldn't fire her, so on and so forth. And then I forget how she ended up trying to fix the robot, but she did get electrocuted.
Now, here's something that I read that seems interesting. I forget if it was on the Reddit or on the Twitter, but some people's theory on this is that she's come back, and the reason why she was so nice and everything was almost like building like everybody's now a character witness for her, that she has changed, which might mean that she would actually, like, they might take her word more than they would have when she had tried to kill somebody's cat, you know, that maybe gives this case a little bit better standing than original. Lee thought that
that's
was,
what it
that
was. Something Carol thought. Was the first one to donate.
Yes. Yep. There you go. So that's see, there was. You go. She's helping out and with
Carol
the cat.
Was the first one. And Janet even brought up, well, I would feel guilty too if I tried to kill the person's cat.
Right. So it might lend some credence to those ideas that it's like, oh, she doesn't harbor any resentment towards Sandra or the cat now. And this, you know, this case can be taken seriously. It's nothing to, you know, she's not lying. She's not whatever. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It could play out something like that. And we'll see. It was kind of out of nowhere. And I wonder how it's going to be going forward. Is this one of the main plot lines we're going to get in the rest of these, like, 9 episodes?
I think that probably was going to be what was going to carry us through the remainder of the season.
Yeah, but they're going to have to shorten it up. I think the last two episodes or so are going to be time skips. I don't think we're sticking with COVID the whole time.
You might be right. I have no clue. I wouldn't mind if they just kept with the time. Like,
well, the reason why I say that is just if we do some quick spoilers here, I guess. You know, there was mention in an interview, so it's not really spoilers, I guess, that they're going to be able to do, in a way, multiple holiday episodes into one thing that's going to tie in with COVID. So it's either they're going to have like a party celebrating these holidays they didn't get a chance to celebrate, or we're going to get that time skip in that episode and we're going to get, you know, we're going to be able to see Halloween 2021. We're going to be able to see, you know, Christmas 2021. And then like the last episode, we get the, you know, a full day, and kind of like how they did with the, you know, how at the beginning of the season we saw different months of COVID. Maybe we get that in for, you know, in that all holiday episode, we get those holidays as part of the passage of time as we kind of catch up to a point where they can ditch the masks and they can have a good finale that is, you know, sans COVID, maybe. That's my theory currently.
I hope, in some way, as I sent to you guys, I don't know if I talked about it last week, it's getting really bad out here in California again. Numbers are starting to dip a little bit, but now they're finding this other strain out here.
Right.
Episode of Fake Doctors Real Friends I listened to last week. Zach Braff, who's he himself is a director and a filmmaker, so he is well connected into a lot of this, obviously. And he understands the impact this has on a lot of things. But he even said himself recently, he's like, I don't see how this can continue. Like, he's like, I don't see how these people are still at work. There's no reason they should be filming anything right now. Now, that's just one person's opinion. Doesn't mean he's right. But considering he knows he's directed many episodes of Scrubs and other TV shows, as well as films. So for him to know what's going on with this, how a lot of this actually works behind the scenes, he has much better understanding than I ever will. Just, I hope it works out. I hope we can finish this season.
I think they will. And we can get a finale. And from what I've read from people that we follow on Twitter, I think they might be filming episode 14 right now, which would mean they only have one more left.
That would be great.
Which would be awesome. That means they could get it done and hopefully before anything gets worse. And then they would also have time to look for pilots if they're, you know, for some of the people that are going to be let go, you know, with the show ending. Also, just quick question. Wouldn't they be suing Cloud9 and not specifically Dina and Glenn when it comes to this?
Well, it could. Well, here's the thing. I think Amy was the store manager at the time.
Right.
Right. But if she's suing because she was told to fix the robot. I can't remember exactly how it happened, right? But if she was told to do whatever to fix the robot, she was put in danger. I think they may be suing the store manager who was in charge, even though it's not necessarily wasn't Glenn and Dina, it was Amy, but they're still the store manager right now, so they would have to bear the brunt of it currently, and they might be suing the Cloud9 as a whole. So I would imagine there was multiple sets of paperwork going out to not only the store itself,
right,
but to the corporate office of Cloud9 to let them know that there's now litigation and things going against their corporation, and possibly Zephyr, because Zephyr being the parent company of Cloud9, so on and so forth. But I could be way wrong. I'm not well versed in the legal world. If there's anybody who is, you want to send us some information on how that would work, we would gladly take that information.
Of course, that'd be great. How about Golden Vest?
I don't know. This one was another one where it doesn't really feel like there's. I hate to say it, I kind of just want to give it to Saeed because he didn't get his Ray Donovan. But
I think I'm going to give it to a non-worker. I think I'm going to give it to the return guy.
with the dialysis machine?
Yes.
I'll buy that. I'll second that.
Let's get to the ratings real quick here. It was a little down. I'm not sure if this is a testament to last week's episode. Usually when you look at ratings, if they're high for an episode, it doesn't have anything to do with the episode that you just watched. It's because of maybe last week's was strong. So it could be the reverse here. If people didn't like last week's as much, maybe it went down a bit.
It could be maybe some of these people said they were going to stop watching because last week's was too political.
A lot of people did say that.
Some of them may have decided they were legitimately going to stop watching.
Or they decided, you know what, this week wasn't that strong. Maybe I will not watch it live this week. Maybe I'll watch it on, you know, DVR or whatever.
Maybe there's people out partying because it was the inauguration this week.
It could be.
Never know.
They could have been watching more news because of that stuff, obviously. Yep. So it's at 8:30 this week, as usual. Mr. Mayor was at a 0.5. That's been pretty consistent so far. Superstore down to a 0.4 with 2.2 million. It's only 0.3 million less than usual. Not that ratings really matter this season anyway, but, you know, just thought we'd still go over those. Next week, January 28th, we get episode 7, The Trough. And it says, when the employees start to worry about Jonah's emotional state, Mateo, Glenn, and Sandra try to help him move on after Amy. Cheyenne is forced to shadow Carol for the day, and Garrett helps Dina search for a secret location in the store. This is also the episode that Kelly comes back. So.
Yes. So, I feel Cheyenne is continuing on with the Carol suing the company.
Yes. So she'll be shadowing her, I guess, to make sure that everything's going okay, I guess.
The secret location in the store. Makes me wonder if they're looking for that hidden room that Jonah and Amy found a while back.
I think from what people said, that is what it is.
And I had no clue. That literally just popped in my head. Because I remember they found that super secret room of all the recalls and stuff. Yes. And had that great montage of doing various things with items that were no good. Mateo, Glenn, and Sandra. Now, I've seen the preview where Sandra is dressed up as Amy.
Yes.
But those are probably the three last people I would want to help me in an emotional state.
Correct. And you know what, though? Mateo, I could see actually, just because he is still dating Amy's brother. So that would be an interesting... We might get some news about how Amy's doing through Mateo and Eric, maybe.
But he also just came up with the line of, I see why Amy left you in this episode.
Yes, that is true.
So, ouch. A, to that.
And Amy didn't leave him.
Punched him in the face.
Yeah, Jonah should have punched Jonah him in the face on that one. Broke up with
B, it. A much better line would have been, I can now see why Amy didn't want to marry you.
Yes.
And that probably would have hurt him more, cut him more deep.
Yes, it would have.
And then he probably should have been punched in the face.
Now, this website I'm on says what Garrett's last name is. Do you know what Garrett's last name is? Do they ever mention this?
I do not.
McNeil.
I have heard that before, yes.
Okay.
Now that you say, I have.
I was going to say, I don't recall that. But yeah, I think that about wraps up the show. We'll hopefully have Aylin back next week. That's going to premiere on January 28th, like I said, at 8:30. That's the new time for the rest of the season. Anything else that you have for us, Casey, on this episode?
No, this episode was an improvement over last week's, but still not one of the strongest, but we still have a little ways to go. So hopefully they're putting their best feet forward, and we're going to go out strong here over the last half of the season or so.
Yes, and if you do want to follow us, if you want to reach out to us on Twitter, you can reach us at TBRPod. Was it TBR Podcast? I think I'm pulling it up now. Sorry. Yes, at TBR Podcast, Instagram at TBR Podcast, Facebook.com/Breakroom Superstore. Email us at thebreakroomss@gmail.com. If you listen to our very special episodes, we know a lot of you did, of WandaVision episodes 1 and 2, episode 3 is not going to be on this feed. So if you do want to find it, I'll put that link in the show notes. But you can also reach us on anchor.fm/InfinitySagaBeyond. Or you can look us up on iTunes, you know, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. It is To the Infinity Saga and Beyond. And you'll find the WandaVision recaps right there. Which we're about to go record episode 3. So that'll be up probably around the same time that you're listening to this. So thanks for listening and have a great rest of your week.